Good morning, and welcome to our Lord's Day worship, and we do hope that the worship service is a blessing to you. We want to welcome today Cindy Steele, who's going to be offering her gifts this morning. We also want to point out that when we do our hymn singing, Cindy and I will be seated, because it's not a duet. What it is an invitation for all of us to sing out. One of the highest risks activities now is singing in a gathering. But you're home and you're safe, so I want you to belt it out. And every week on Wednesday, we do post our worship service so that you can sing along. If you're in town and you like to see the actual music, make an appointment, come in, and borrow a hymnal. So on Sunday, in your jammies, you can belt it out with us. So we hope that you do indeed sing praises today as we join together to worship our Lord.
To worship is taken from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Thank you. I dance for the fishermen, for James and John. They came with me and the dance went on. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I dance for the Sabbath when I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They draped and they stripped and they hung me high and left me there on the cross to die. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on a Friday when the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone. But I am a dance and I still go. They cut me down and I leapt up high. I am the life that'll never, never die. I'll live in you if you live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead
Reflection on the Scripture by Barbara Axelson. This week we are asked to serve gladly. We do this because we are blessed to be children of God. God calls us the sheep of his pasture. In our gratitude, we join in blessing God's name and rejoicing in his goodness, mercy, and enduring truth. Paul writes in Romans that even suffering is tinged with joy. Our character, our endurance, is made strong, even in the most distressing times, not through our own power, but through the presence and grace of Jesus. Matthew tells us that Jesus went out to all the cities to teach and preach and heal. No one was left out. He felt deep compassion for the people he encountered, viewing them as weary, scattered sheep. He reminded his disciples that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers, those needed to teach and preach and heal, are few. What is our task? We are to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Could one of those laborers be you? Please join us as we sing the hymn printed in your bulletin, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
we come to that point of the service where we bring our praise reports and our prayer concerns. We are so grateful to God today for the birth of Benjamin David, to one of the young people who were raised in this church, Samantha, and her husband, Davi. So we're so grateful for his life. We want to remember in our prayers Jaden Michael. He is the great-grandson of Elfie, whom we've been praying for. Jaden is still struggling. He's at Children's Hospital. He's about a week or two old, and we are praying for his full recovery. We want to remember my father-in-law's Frank Karen, who has cancer and is in, we think, the last stages. We want to remember Dean, who is also struggling with a cancer diagnosis. We want to remember Kay in our prayers, who is still in rehab. We want to remember Doug's daughter, Kathy, who has serious health problems, and Winnie's granddaughter, Madeline. We also want to remember the family of Bill Matz. Bill was the dean of the seminary when I was in school, and Bill was 93, and he died of COVID-19. So we have lost a great man of the church, somebody that I admired greatly. And we ask for prayers not only for his family, but for the church at large, as we have lost our mentor and friend. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you thankful for your faithfulness, that your mercies are new every morning, that even in the midst of sorrow, we find things to be joyful about. And we are indeed joyful with Samantha and Davi over the birth of their firstborn son, Benjamin David. And we ask that you would grant to them your grace, your mercy, and your joy. O friend of little children, we bring before you Jaden Michael, and we ask that your spirit would enter that little life, that you would grant to him a full life, that you would be with his parents during this very difficult time. Friend of little children, we ask that you would overshadow Madeline as she goes through a health crisis, that you would grant to her your healing mercy. We would remember all of those who are struggling with cancer this day, for Karen and for Dean, that you would grant to them your peace and your strength. We ask that you would be with Kay as she continues her rehab, that she might grow stronger and come home to her family. We would remember Doug's daughter, Kathy, and ask that you would strengthen her for the journey ahead. And Lord, we ask that you would comfort all who mourn this day. We thank you for Bill Matz's life, and we ask that you would strengthen his family and the church family as we mourn his loss. We bring ourselves before you today, for we know that you love us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our first scripture lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Our second lesson is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion upon them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. You know how parents have sayings? I always thought that they were unique to my own parents. And then if you look in the internet, you find all those expressions. I thought my mother came up with the expression, the best helping hand is at the end of your own arm. She used to say that all the time. If I needed help, you know, the best helping hand is at the end of your own arm. She wanted me to be independent. She wanted me to be a problem solver. And I think I've grown into that. So when I read passages like Jesus seeing the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, that always was about somebody else, not me. Because I had a solution and I had the best helping hand I knew about until I married my husband. Then his became the best helping hand. So I always took a step back when I read that verse because I interpreted it as it was those people who did not know God, who were not part of the community of faith. They were the ones who were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I had a shepherd. But if you read back into the New Testament and know the background of it, the people that Jesus went to were not people who did not know God. These were people who were in synagogue every single Saturday. They knew the scriptures. They followed the God of Israel. They were of the household of faith. And yet he looked at them and he said, they're harassed and helpless and they're even a little aimless. And so he turned to his disciples who were also harassed and helpless. They had no political power. They had no economic power. They had very little education. Think about the people who were surrounding Jesus. Most of them were fishermen. They knew nothing of organizing a group. They knew nothing of politics. Then there was the man named Levi or Matthew. He was a collaborator. He was a tax collector. Who was going to listen to him? And he said to those disciples who were as harassed and helpless as the people that were surrounding them, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into his harvest. Now, what he meant was, I want you to seize the opportunity because there's opportunities all around you. And then he told them, you're the laborers. It's awfully hard when you're harassed and helpless to be the laborers and to seize the opportunity. And I've never really understood that verse as applying to me, except I was going to help all the less fortunate until this time, because I'm feeling awfully harassed and helpless. I'm harassed and helpless by a disease that has a name but no cure. This invisible plague that has taken well over 100,000 of my neighbors. I am harassed and helpless because I realized in a month I'm going to be in that high-risk group. And I go out into the community and I wear a mask and I see so many that don't and I think they could infect me. And I can't do anything about that except shut myself up at home, and I feel harassed and helpless. I'm harassed and helpless when I look at the news and I see groups of people who have decided that the other, well, whoever the other is the enemy and is not worthy of consideration. And when we start to devalue people, because of their politics, because of the color of their skin, because of their occupation, what we end up doing is allowing ourselves to dehumanize them to the point that we can do anything to them, upwards and including murder. And I feel harassed and helpless because I can't do anything about it. And so now when I read that scripture, I say, okay, I'm in that category. And somebody's got to come and rescue me. But then I read it again, and Jesus says, no, I'm not sending anybody, it's you. pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Seize the opportunity. There are opportunities all around us, even when we feel weak and helpless. Paul says it best when he says, even in suffering, we have strength, because that suffering's going to produce endurance and character. And we live into the suffering, not because we're happy with suffering, but because we know that God's love is not limited by suffering. And so we seize the opportunities around us. And when an opportunity presents itself, we don't wrap ourselves in humility. We don't say, well, I can't help. We meet the need that is presented. I think of that young man in Buffalo who late at night decided he was going to meet a need. He didn't announce it to anyone, but you know, in our day and age, there are cameras everywhere. And so at 2 a.m, somebody got a camera out, and they found this young man who had just graduated high school. He couldn't have the graduation he wanted. He was in the middle of a neighborhood that had been wrecked by rioting, and so he decided to go out and start cleaning the trash at 2 a.m. And he worked for hours, and she posted this on social media, and it garnered so much attention. He saw a need, and he filled it. What we have to understand in this time is how much power we actually have. We cannot concentrate on our harassment. We cannot concentrate on our weakness. We have personal power. Every single one of us does. And when opportunities present themselves, we have to grab onto them. Pray that God sends us to do the healing, to do the teaching, to do the reconciliation, to do that which will bring about God's peaceable kingdom. It's up to us, even when we're suffering. One person that I had admired greatly only lived till he was 13 or 14 years old. His name was Matty Stepanek, and he was born with a death sentence. He was born with muscular dystrophy. And they told his mother, don't get too close to him because he'll probably die at age 3 or 4. Well, he lived till 13 or 14. Most of that time in a wheelchair, a few years with a trach. But he had said when he was very young, I am a messenger. And he believed that he was a messenger from God, and his messages were through his poetry. And he had messages of peace, and he felt like he was an ambassador for peace. In that wheelchair, he had power. Well, most of us are on 2 feet today. What will we do to stand in our own power, even when we are harassed and helpless and sometimes wander around a little aimlessly? God, help us to understand and to seize the opportunities when they present themselves in our context, in our moment, that we can be the church, that we can be the people of God to heal and restore this broken land. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that in the midst of our harassment and helplessness, that your love knows no bounds, that your creative energy is still here, that your power is limitless. And we ask that you would fill us this day with that power in the midst of suffering, so that we can seize the opportunity and restore this community and this land. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in the name of Jesus. Amen.